Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. Repeat after me.
Maharaj Parikshit,
repeatedly addressed and questioned.
The bull thus.
O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings,
who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Krishna,
there is no one as unhappy as you.
Maharaj, if you could just give me a moment, please. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody on our end.
Okay.
And as a reminder for those directly on Skype, you please mute yourself. And if somebody needs to unmute themselves on free conferencing, it's *6, what you need to do. So, Maharaj, just give me like 2 seconds here, and then we'll be all set.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The kings or the executive heads of all states must know the codes of Lord Krishna, generally Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and must act accordingly in order to fulfill the mission of human life, which is to make an end to all miseries of material conditions. One who knows the codes of Lord Krishna can achieve this end without any difficulty. In the Bhagavad Gita, in a synopsis, we can understand the codes of Godhead, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same codes are explained further. In a state where the codes of Krishna are followed, no one is unhappy. Where such codes are not followed, the first sign is that three legs of the representative of religion are cut off, and thereby all miseries follow. When Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question. But in his absence, such codes are presented in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Parikshit Maharaj encountered Kali. The age of Kali started when Krishna left this planet and the Pandavas left for Mahaprasthan, the great departure to give up their bodies just by walking towards the Himalayas. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, just before leaving his kingdom, coronated Parikshit Maharaj as the king to the throne that ruled over the entire earth planet. Not just the land part of the earth planet, but the earth planet including the oceans. Sa Sagara, including the oceans. And at that time, Kali actually entered. But the situation at that time was so perfect, mainly because Krishna just came and established Dharma. For about 36 years, Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled over the kingdom, perfectly establishing the order of Dharma all over the world. And then Parikshit Maharaj succeeded him. And when Parikshit Maharaj was ruling this kingdom, Kali was trying, because now is the time that by Krishna's arrangement, Kali has the control over the planet. But the situation is as such that Kali became totally ineffective. Kali's business is to establish order. Kali comes to destroy Dharma and establish adharma, the principles that are diametrically opposed to dharmic principles. But Kali could not actually enter into Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom, but she just was trying to enter, and the first symptom of that influence of Kali became manifest in the torturing of the cows and torturing of the bulls. This is the symbolic, this is the significance, or this is how Kali enters. The bull here is Dharma personified, and the cow here is Mother Earth. The living entities get a wonderful opportunity when one gets a human form of life in the Earth planet. Because Earth planet is the place which is the gateway to the spiritual sky. If we consider the structure of the universe, there are 14 planetary systems. 7 planets are higher and 7 planets are lower. The lower planets are subterranean planets, like they're below the surface. And 7 planets are above the surface. Like there is a 14-story building with 7 stories above and 7 stories below, the basements. Now the ground floor is the Earth planet. Now, when one wants to get out of the building, what is the way to get out? What is the way out? What is the exit? The exit is on the ground floor. That's why the Earth planet is considered to be so special. In the higher planetary systems, one may get some greater advantage for sense gratification or more opportunities for enjoyment in this world, but the real purpose is served when one gets, or when one gets an opportunity to be born in the Earth planet, especially in the human form of life, then he gets an opportunity to get out. Therefore, Earth planet is so special, and this Earth planet is represented in the form of a cow. And Dharma, which is most perfectly executed or performed, is this planet, Earth planet. The perfect Dharma of devotional service to Krishna is executed on the Earth planet in the most pure form. Therefore the Lord comes to the Earth planet when he descends to the universe, especially in his original identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Krishna is the supreme, supreme personality of Godhead. And his abode, which is the topmost region of the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, is also represented on the earth planet in Bhauma Vrindavan. So getting an opportunity to be born in the earth planet as a human being provides one an opportunity to be elevated to the topmost region of the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. And now this earth planet goes through different phases. Just as time moves in cycles, the day is divided from morning, noon, afternoon, evening. Similarly, the time moves in a greater dimension in the form of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, Dharma is perfectly established. All the four pillars of Dharma are intact. In Treta Yuga, one pillar breaks. Dharma stands on three legs. In Dwapar Yuga, two pillars break. And Dharma is standing on two legs. And in Kali Yuga, three legs of Dharma are broken. Dharma is standing just on one leg. And at that time, Kali actually gets an opportunity to establish Adharma. That is Kali's prerogative. This age is meant for Kali. And this age is the age of Adharma. And Kali establishes Adharma by breaking the fourth leg also. Dharma is all three legs of Dharma are already broken, but Dharma is standing just on one leg. And that one leg, truthfulness, also is being affected by Kali. And so here is this situation that Parikshit Maharaj is observing. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is wondering who this bull is. And he was wondering whether this personality is a demigod. Because he was considering whether the demigod is giving an indication that what's going to happen to this age. So that's why he is asking Dharma. Now when it comes to Dharma, there are different phases of Dharma. They have been classified into two categories. One is the category of just following the rules and regulations provided by the Lord in the scriptures. The following the scriptural injunctions is dharma. Dharmang tu shakshad bhagavat pramitam. And the manifestation of that dharma is in the form of Varnashram. The four Varnas have been established by Krishna himself according to Guna and Karma. Chatur Varnang Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they develop a specific nature, a specific characteristic. They are Brahmanas. Those who are in the mode of passion, they also develop a specific characteristic due to the mode of influence, and they are Kshatriyas. Then those who are in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance, they are Vaishyas, and those who are in the mode of ignorance, they are Sudras. So these are the four Varnas, four divisions of human society. The Brahmanas, those who are in the mode of goodness, those who are situated in knowledge, a proper understanding of what the nature of this material world is like, they generally do not want to get involved in the affairs of the material world. They remain aloof and absorbed in their spiritual cultivation. But those who are in the mode of passion, those who are the warriors, the kshatriyas, they have a very strong tendency to enjoy this material nature. Therefore, the responsibility has been given to them to give protection, because enjoyment and protection go hand in hand. When we want to enjoy something, we have to be able to protect it as well. So that is the responsibility of a kshatriya. Kshatat trayate iti kshatriya. The one who protects the society from the possible injuries is a kshatriya. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is pointing out that is the responsibility of the kshatriyas to see that the dharma is properly established. And he is considering that his family, the Kuru dynasty, is famous for being the followers of Krishna, Krishnanugas, Krishnanu Charitam. So they are the followers of Krishna, therefore they are situated perfectly on the path of Dharma, and they as the rulers make it a point to establish Dharma on this planet. And that's why he is so concerned that who is this person that is torturing Dharma in this way? Already Dharma lost his three legs, and the one leg that he is standing on, that leg is also is being tormented. He is trying to break that leg. Later on we will see that how Parikshit Maharaj, like an ideal king, like pulled out his sword and he was about to finish off Kali. And we can see Kali's identity. Kali's identity is here a Sudra dressed up like a king. A Sudra who is in the mode of ignorance. A person who is in mode of ignorance, he wants to rule this age at this time. So this is the typical identity of the leaders of this age. They are the agents of Kali. They are Sudras. They are totally unqualified. They do not have any consideration of Dharma. Their business is actually to follow the instructions of the higher class. But instead of following the instructions of the higher class, they have become the leaders. And they are instructing the society how the society should be maintained. And this is how Kali establishes his authority in this age. Now we can see how gradually the world degraded to this situation. Original consideration was Varnashram. And Varnashram, in the Varnashram society, the Kshatriyas are the leaders of the society. Now, powerful individuals. So powerful that one man could fight with thousands of Maharathis. These are the Kshatriyas. Such powerful individuals. And they are maintaining the law and order. But then we can see, due to the influence of Kali, how this system of ruling by the Kshatriyas, which is in present condition, present terms, will be identified as monarchy. The monarchy has been abolished. We can see how Kali got rid of Parikshit Maharaj using the Brahmanas. The Brahmana boy, Sringi, cursed an ideal king. So Kali used these Brahmana boy, to get rid of Parikshit Maharaj. He could not get rid of him. He used the Brahmanas. And then the Kshatriyas became tyrannical, the kings, they were not following the orders of the Brahmanas. And at the same time, or prior to that, the Brahmanas became degenerated. Brahmanas were not really qualified Brahmanas anymore. Like we can see Sringi, an unqualified Brahmana, couldn't control his senses, couldn't control his anger with a higher vision that, okay, the king may have committed something wrong, but the king is necessary to maintain, such a king as Parikshit Maharaj is needed to maintain the proper law and order in this world. He didn't consider that. Just out of his passionate rage, he cursed him. And this is how Kali got rid of Parikshit Maharaj. And then gradually, Kali started to influence. The first way he influenced, first influence of Kali is the Brahmanas. And how did he do that? Rakshasa Kalimashritta Jayante Brahmajonishu. The Rakshasas, the demons, took birth in the Brahminical families, taking advantage of the age of Kali. And then, when the Rakshasas became the spiritual leaders, then they started to exploit the people in the name of religious principles. They introduced all kinds of undesirable activities. And one of the things is unnecessary killing of animals in the name of sacrifice. And Prabhupada pointed out that as a result of that, Lord Buddha came. And he established the principles of Ahimsa. And the Kshatriyas followed that principle of Ahimsa. The Kshatriyas are not meant to follow the principles of Ahimsa. The Kshatriyas have to be strict and powerful, and they have to be prepared to fight battles and kill the enemies. Kshatriya's business is to get rid of the unwanted, undesirable elements from the society. Prabhupada is saying that, you know, when somebody commits a crime, he must be killed. A murderer, thieves, dacoits have to be killed. The death sentence is a natural thing, natural consequence of their crime. But when the Kshatriyas started to follow this principle of Ahimsa, the Kshatriyas deviated from their business. And that is what happened in one hand, and on the other hand, the Kshatriyas became tyrannical. They became completely despotic. They became autocratic. And without, generally in the Varnashram society, the Brahmanas would guard the Kshatriya kings. The Kshatriya kings would take the advice and guidance of the Brahmanas. But when the Brahminical culture was lost, the Kshatriyas also lost respect for the Brahmanas. They didn't want to follow their advice. They didn't want to follow their authority. They became independent. And an independent Kshatriya, an independent king, will naturally become a tyrant. And he will exploit his people instead of protecting his people. So this is how the Kshatriyas degenerated. And then they started to fight among themselves. And as a result of that, they became weak. We can see how Prabhupada is pointing out that for thousands of years, India had been ruling the world. Since time immemorial, actually, that's the expression Prabhupada used. Since time immemorial, India had been ruling the world. There was no question of foreign invasion in India. The first invader that succeeded to enter into India was one Muhammad Ghori. He attacked the king who was guarding that region on the northeast frontier area in Rajasthan. King Prithviraj. And 17 times he defeated Muhammad Ghori. And Muhammad Ghori left and went back. On the 18th time, Mohammad Ghori made a truce with another Indian king called Jai Chand, who had some animosity with Prithviraj. And taking advantage of this king's animosity with Prithviraj, he joined hands with him and jointly attacked Prithviraj. And that is how he could defeat Prithviraj Chauhan. So we can see how dharma actually degenerated, and in this way, finally, India became subjected to the foreign invaders. And the Muslims ruled, then the British came, ruled over India, and the Vedic culture was practically lost. And then India became independent, and then came democracy. According to Srila Prabhupada, it was demon crazy. It's a demon crazy. The crazy demons are ruling over the human society today. Of the people, for the people, by the people. But who are the people? The people are ignorant. The ignorant mass is going to elect a leader. Now, what kind of leader they will elect? The ignorant mass, how can they wisely elect a leader? So, and as a result of that, we are seeing the condition is becoming more and more critical. And 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing what will be the condition of the age of Kali. Dasyu prayeshu rajaneshu. The bandits, the dacoits, will become the rulers. And as a result of that, people will just run away from cities and villages. And they will go into the forest just to be away from these so-called rulers. So that is what's going to happen in the age of Kali. Anyway, but Kali Yuga has one great advantage. In one hand, due to the influence of Kali, the situation will become extremely degraded, extremely precarious. But asti hi eko mahan guna. The age of Kali has one great advantage. Kaler doshe nidhe rajan, asti hi eko mahan guna. Although the age of Kali is full of sinful activities, it's like an ocean of sinful activities, but it has one great advantage, and that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Prajit. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can very easily free himself from this material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. So that's why our acharyas are saying that Kali Yuga is the best of all ages. Yes, the condition may be precarious, but the advantage that this age is providing is making this age as the best of all ages. Now it's up to us whether we'll succumb to the influence of Kali or whether we'll take advantage of Krishna consciousness movement. If we succumb to the influence of Kali, yes, we are in an extremely dangerous situation. But if we take advantage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, which Srila Prabhupada so mercifully distributed all over the world, then we can get rid of this difficult situation. And even in this world, when we are situated even on this planet, we will be enjoying our life. Will be in a blissful situation, and what to speak of at the end of this life as a reward of our devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will allow us to go back to His kingdom, back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question?
I'll actually, they'll be able to hear me. I'll ask a you just keep them in. I'll make a brief comment and then a question.
They can hear.
They'll hear me. They'll hear me through this microphone.
Okay.
The same thing that they're hearing you through, they'll hear me fine.
Yeah. This is Narahari Prabhu speaking.
Yeah. They hear me every day.
Okay.
If we all come in close, they'll hear our questions. They'll be able to hear. So why don't us? It'll be easier if Ramananda doesn't mind me taking over for a minute. If all of us ask questions in here first, and it'll be real normal and personal. And then if they have any further questions, and they can ask as well.
Will we be able to hear them?
No. Maharaj will have to repeat their questions, right. But at least we'll all hear each other, and they'll hear us as well. Okay. So I guess my first comment, there's Prabhupada quotes the saying that if a low-class person curses a saint, the low-class person curses a cow to die, the cow will not die because it will be protected by Krishna. I was thinking that when you were talking about how Sringi had cursed King Parikit in order to get rid of him. Mm. But actually, that backfired, because what he did by cursing, he immortalized him. Because when he heard the Bhagavatam, that all laid the foundation for the recitation of the Bhagavatam, immortalizing King Parikit. And now that Bhagavatam is alive, and King Parikit is alive in this Bhagavatam recitation, the Sangha that we're all engaging in right now.
Mm.
And that was so important. And Mahaprabhu and his associates were very... just very instructive in that they would hear Bhagavatam and recite Bhagavatam. And that's what we're all doing in this Sangha, which all throughout the world we're all connected.
Yeah.
So the curse didn't work.
Yeah.
Just as much as if one tries to curse a cow, then the cow will also be ultimately somehow protected by Krishna. My question is, we're talking about the Varnashram. What is, Prabhupada mentioned that half of his, once the, our, book distribution became well established, Prabhupada then said, so half of my dream is now fulfilled, the other half is Varnashram. You have a lot of association with Prabhupada. Do you have any idea what Prabhupada's vision was of how to practically establish Varnashram in this age of Kali? I mean, it doesn't seem practical. Everyone's going to go and go to the farms. And I mean, what is your realization in terms of practically establishing?
Well, I mean, it's very nice that you asked that question. I'll relate one incident. You see, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan before leaving this planet, one of us used to always be with Srila Prabhupada that night. And my shift was from 12 to 2. And one night, Prabhupada couldn't sleep. So I was attending Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was lamenting that there's so much to do and my health condition is so bad. So I tried to console Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, what you have done is inconceivable. It's inconceivable. So you should not think that you have anything else to be done for you. Like, you should just relax. Then Prabhupada said, no, what I have done is 50%. And the other 50% is to establish Varnashram. And then Prabhupada said, not that everyone will become a devotee. Those who will not become a devotee, for them we need Varnashram. And at that time I was a new devotee. Prabhupada was speaking. Many of the things practically went over my head. But what I could understand at that time, that as Prabhupada directly said, that not that everybody will become a devotee. There will be many who will not become a devotee. And in order to structure the society to be properly establish dharma, there is the need of Varnashram. Which actually means, like, later on I considered, like to match what Srila Prabhupada has done, is not just going to be an ordinary work, Like what Prabhupada has achieved is inconceivable. No, never ever anyone has achieved such a thing in the past, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, to match that, you know, what is needed is that we have to, you know, establish Varnashram all over the world. I mean, that would mean the other half, the matching what Srila Prabhupada has done, which means, but, and another consideration here is, Varnashram is not going to be established just like that in a small little community. In order to properly establish Varnashram, you need the state. The entire state, entire country has to become. The government has to become, you know, Krishna conscious, like Varnashram. The Kshatriyas, you see, Kshatriyas function in complete freedom. Like a Kshatriya will go and challenge a king. Look, either you surrender to me or fight with me. Now, in democratic society, that's not going to happen. So to establish Varnashram properly, we have to get rid of democracy. In a democratic society, it's not going to happen. Democracy is actually the opposed to Varnashram. A democracy will not allow one person to become the powerful ruler. All their mood is like by the mass. And this is how Kali is securing his situation. You know, Kali is not allowing anybody to come up and become the ruler. See, and like we can consider, like Prabhupada also mentioned, that he is creating the Brahmanas. The society is a Sudra society. Right, everybody in this age has become Sudra. Prabhupada has come to and established ISKCON to create Brahmanas. Of course, pure devotees, but at least the Brahminical culture is being established. But so Prabhupada, from the Sudra community, he has done the opposite extreme. The Brahminical culture is being established. But to establish Kshatriya culture, it needs a massive work. And that massive work means, you know, the government has to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, that was, you know, my understanding.
In our Varnashram research, one comment Prabhupada made was,
speak nice and loud.
Show a, or make a small unit of ideal community. So from what you just said, Maharaj, that seems to be a clue. You were, and it also resonates with why Prabhupada would say, this will be the first Krishna-conscious country. That'll be the first, like Fiji, Mauritius. If one place on this earth can show the whole world a better way to
live,
then people will take a look at that.
Right.
And they'll really start to take our book seriously.
Right. Yeah, so, that's very true, yeah.
So that's a big hint.
And there'll be a big opposition also.
Yeah.
Democratic world doesn't want monarchy. Because, like, see what America is doing. Because, you know, America is the biggest proponent of democracy.
But it's only a show because it's not really.
They're not democratic. No,
it's
they're
an oligarchy.
It's an oligarchy. It's ruled by Vaishya Bandhus.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. Thank you, Suresha Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Maybe Maharaj, I was going to ask. Prabhupada. Because I visited India in 77. You were Prabhupada's servant. And I would happen to be in Prabhupada's room. And I don't know if you remember this particular incident. Prabhupada said, I've given you this big, big ISKCON movement. If you can, please expand it. And then he said, at least maintain what I've given you.
Right.
He said, don't let it decrease.
Hmm.
And he said, cooperate. And then Prabhupada started to cry. Do you remember that? So, you know, when I see temples, I, of course, you know, Pragosh, my good friend here, first came to Hawaii in 74. And he always has stories about this temple and Prabhupada being here in Hawaii. And amazing stories. Prabhupada cooked for all the devotees and just incredible stories. So you know, my imagination about what the Hawaii temple was, was all these images, because I've never been to the Hawaii temple till yesterday. So it's one of part of me is like, I'm ecstatic because that's there used to be like a staircase right in the back here off Prabhupada's room. Wasn't there like a something that used to go down?
You weren't here then.
Anyways, Pragosh gave me this whole imagery of what the temple was like, the banyan tree in the back and so on.
I think it was good.
So one part of me is very ecstatic to see all these like pastimes. And then the other, you know, my heart's kind of broken because, it, you know, not just this temple, the Detroit temple, many temples, we've actually disbanded, right? Prabhupada used to say like sticks, you can break a stick easily, but if you put all the sticks together, then you're strong. So when I, when Prabhupada said, please cooperate, and then he started to cry. Of course, that was the greatest pain of my life, seeing Prabhupada cry. So can you address about us coming together and cooperate so that we don't make Prabhupada cry? And can you address that? Because it seems like we're separated and we should be bonded together.
Well, I mean, you just said it. And now, how to make everyone, you know, come back to Prabhupada's lotus feet and continue to serve the way they were serving his divine grace when he was present. It's it's a very big challenge, and personally I feel the leaders have to make an effort. Those who have left, many have left and joined different groups. For them it will be difficult to come back because they have committed themselves to another allegiance. But at least we should make an endeavor to bring those who have left, come back. And we should wait for the opportunity, actually. Because, when everything is going on nicely, probably one will not think in terms of coming back to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. But after all, the seed of devotion has already been planted in their hearts. They have got Krishna consciousness to some extent. And when they come to a specific situation, like some dangerous, some difficult situation, then probably they will recognize Srila Prabhupada's importance in their life and come back. Maybe before they're about to leave their bodies. And we should keep our doors open. Personally, I feel that we should keep our doors open, ISKCON's door open, for everyone to come back, no matter when. And I think the mood is quite prevalent in ISKCON. Like, whoever wants to come back, there are many devotees who left ISKCON at one point. They came back and they're leaders of our movement now. So that shows the magnanimous attitude of ISKCON. Like, our doors are open. So please come back, and whatever happens, has happened. Don't worry about it. Come back and let's serve together. And personally, I feel it'll happen. Many of them at least will come back. And I've seen already some devotees before leaving the planet. They came back and they left in a glorious way. Like Upendra Prabhu, he was lost after Prabhupada left. Soon after Prabhupada left. I mean, he was Prabhupada's personal servant. And Prabhupada had so much affection for him. But he left. Of course, there are reasons also for many devotees to leave also, because the way they have been treated or the way they have been maltreated. There have been many devotees have been driven out of ISKCON. And, that's unfortunate phase that we had gone through. But the thing is that, you know, like, anyway, like Upendra Prabhu, when he realized that he was going to leave his body, he came back. He was in Australia. He came back to New Govardhan, the farm. And he left his body surrounded by hundreds of devotees chanting the holy name. So, and he made it. Same thing also with Sudama. Came back and left his body surrounded by devotees. And this is the greatness of ISKCON devotees. No matter whoever one is, no matter whatever one may have done, when he comes back to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, they're going to embrace him. So, should I stop now because it's well over 7:30?
Yes, Ramananda, if there's any other
questions. Oh, Ramananda Prabhu?
Okay, well, I can give everybody an opportunity here. You know, maybe we have time for one question, if anybody has. I have a question, but I want to leave it open for talk a lot. Would anyone like to ask a question? Maharaj, maybe if he has one time question, for one question. Anyone have?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for coming to Hawaii. Please accept my humble obeisances. It's very nice for you to give class.
Thank you. May I know who is speaking?
My name is Maharani Devidasi.
I
really, really enjoyed your class, and you're just very clear on explaining everything. So sometimes when devotees get together, we have a bit of a misunderstanding about the four legs of religion and which regulations they go with. And so I was just wondering about cleanliness and intoxication and illicit sex and austerity, how they all fit together. And also, could you tell us in what order they actually fell? Like in Kali Yuga, the last leg is truthfulness, and in Dwapara Yuga, what were the last two and what were the last three?
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, the
Can
first...
You repeat the question?
Oh, yeah. The question is that what are the order of the four legs of Kali?
I was wondering that too. What was the first to go? What was the second to go?
Well, yeah, right.
The same thing.
Yeah. Well, as the legs of dharma breaks, the leg grows. Kali also, like an animal, stands on four legs. Like dharma is standing on four pillars and Kali is standing on four legs. And the first one to break is austerity. And as austerity breaks, the mercy, as the leg of dharma, that of austerity breaks, then comes the tapo daya. Yeah. Austerity goes, and sattam, saucham, tapo, daya, meat eating, yeah. With that, meat eating begins. Austerity is synonymous to Kali's introduction of meat eating. Mercy comes as the mercy goes, intoxication comes. Then, like in that respect, I think this is a little confusing. Generally, people think that mercy is synonymous to cow killing, right?
Because it's stated two ways.
No,
it's two different ways.
Yeah. And the thing is, the way I found it, Prabhupada also mentioned that intoxication is with mercy. As the mercy goes,
intoxication.
In one place it says that, another it says
intoxication begins. Now, an interesting consideration in this respect actually is that intoxication and mercy, you see, in the word hashish comes with assassin. The word assassin comes from, and that is, that says the mercy actually goes with that. The tendency of mercy goes, and then only one can. Yeah. So intoxication and mercy, that's how. And cleanliness and truthfulness is understandable. Cleanliness, as cleanliness goes, illicit sex begins. And as mercy goes, as truthfulness goes, gambling. So these are the four orders. Does it answer your question, Maharani Mataji?
Thank you so much. You cleared up more than I expected. That was great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Where do you live?
I live on the Big Island of Hawaii, on a farm in the middle of nowhere with three cows.
Okay. Wonderful. Please come to Honolulu for Prabhupada's 40th anniversary of the temple.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, we should perhaps let Maharaj go.
So, Ramananda Prabhu, you said you had a question. We can...
You know what, Maharaj? I think that we should go ahead and let you go. I don't want to be a burden to you. The Association of Devotees here online very much appreciate you giving us a class like this, a real benediction to us. And we really look forward to the next time you can give class.
Thank you. Thank you. And I look very much forward to seeing you soon. All of you. Hare Krishna. All
thank
glories
you,
to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.